This is Africa Tech Kin with Danny That Guy. Logging into biggest tech stories in Zimbabwe, Africa, and the world, right here on ZFM Stereo.
Welcome to the Africa Tech Kin, right here on ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, your premier show that analyzes the week's biggest technology stories and sees where we fit in Zimbabwe, Africa, and the world. I'm Danny That Guy, your guide through the sometimes complicated streets that are the world of technology. And this is what we have on the show this week. Let's start in Zimbabwe. The president commissioned a new solar plant on Friday and used that platform during the commissioning to call on the diaspora to invest in what he called energy and technology parks. We'll unpack that in the context of the national power supply and how it affects us here in Zimbabwe. Then a new partnership. The Ministry of Skills, Audit and Development, as well as Liquid Intelligent Technologies, have signed a memorandum of understanding focused on AI, cloud computing, and digital skills. We're also going to hear from Liquid Zimbabwe CEO. After that, we have a conversation that's been simmering here in Zimbabwe and really on the globe, and that has to do with AI-generated music. Zimbabwean artists are up in arms, as it were, about AI-generated music, copyright, and the future of human creativity. We're going to do a little bit of a deep dive as to how the situation of AI music stands right now in Zimbabwe, Africa, and the world. And then Microsoft released the Q1 AI Diffusion Report, which tells us in hard numbers where Africa stands in the global AI race. MTN wants to turn every cellular tower on the continent into an AI computer. Google has made possibly the biggest change to the world's biggest search engine since it started. A lot to unpack there. And one of the year's most surprising stories, one that had a lot of people talking this week, Microsoft has banned its own engineers from using AI when coding because it's too expensive. Yep, you heard that right. As always, we want you to get involved in this show. So please, if you're listening to this live on radio, as it airs every Tuesday at 7:05, straight after the news at 7 p.m. on ZFM Stereo, you can contribute via WhatsApp on the number 0772-168-045. Or if you want to listen to this on demand, it's available either via podcasts. Just make sure you subscribe to ZFM Stereo Current Affairs or on YouTube, where if you subscribe to ZFM Stereo, you'll be able to see my non-AI generated face as we discuss this show weekly. So please, when you do so, use the hashtag AfricaTechKin. That's K-I-N, because as we often say on this show, we're all a family and technology is what connects us. Let's get into our first story. We're going to start with something on the energy front. On Friday, President Mnangagwa commissioned the 10-megawatt new Glovers solar power plant in Munyati Kwekwe. It's an indigenous independent power producer, meaning it was built by the local private sector, with the Public Service Commission's pension fund providing over 50% of the funding. And now this new solar plant is feeding into the national grid. So some numbers on the plant itself: 18,600 solar panels, 31 inverters, 2 smart transformers, and a 6-kilometer transmission line that is connecting to the decommissioned Munyati power station. The estimated cost of building this solar plant was around $20 million. Annual output forecast is about 20 gigawatt hours every year, enough to power roughly 9,000 average Zimbabwean households. And they say this is just phase one. The goal is to get this full project to 110 megawatts at completion. And in the context of the national power supply, it's relatively modest, of course. Zimbabwe's national installed generation capacity, according to the latest World Bank Energy Compact, is around 2,962 megawatts. But the dependable capacity that we can actually rely on day to day sits between 1,200 and 1,600 megawatts. Peak demand is around 2,000 megawatts. So this contribution of a solar plant that's bringing in 10 megawatts is modest. But if it gets up to its 110 megawatts at completion, that is something worth noting. On Friday, the day of the commissioning of the solar plant, the Zimbabwe Power Company reported that independent power producers were generating 66 megawatts of the 1,449 megawatts on the grid that day. So the IPPs are still just a small sliver. But if we get this power plant to full capacity, then it will almost be double what is currently being produced by all the IPPs. It's interesting noting what the president said in his speech on that day. He had 2 warnings and a call. He told public officials demanding bribes from investors that they are enemies of development. And he warned that anyone caught vandalizing energy infrastructure, solar panels, transformers, cables, these would be dealt with. A solar panel stolen today means a job lost tomorrow, guard this project like you guard your own homes. He also called on Zimbabweans in the diaspora to invest in key national priority projects. And he told local authorities, both urban and rural, to ring fence and reserve land for the establishment of energy and technology parks. Interesting. Interesting, this new phrase in the discussion coming through from the president when it comes to Zimbabwean policy. Energy and technology parks. These being mentioned in the same breath. Obviously, they are intertwined. You can't separate them. Of course, we wait to see where the actual policy machinery will follow these statements. On to the next news item. Last week, the Ministry of Skills Audit and Development, unfortunately abbreviated as MOSAD, signed a Memorandum of Understanding with Liquid Intelligent Technologies. The minister, Dr. Jenfan Muswere, who, by the way, used to run the ICT portfolio before current minister, Minister Mavetera, took over in late 2023, is back in the digital conversation because of this skills audit ministry. He said the partnership is about building a sustainable education and skills development program aligned with industry demand, with a heavy focus on artificial intelligence, cloud computing, and digital analytics. Now, we know Liquid is not a small player when it comes to Zimbabwe's digital industry. It is a Cassava Technologies business and the largest fixed internet provider in Zimbabwe by network capacity. It's the first NVIDIA cloud partner on the African continent and a long-standing Microsoft Gold partner. So when Liquid signs an MOU with the Skills Ministry, it's not theoretical, it's a big deal. The CEO of Liquid Zimbabwe, Loretta Songola, was at the signing. Listen what she had to say about this arrangement.
We have collectively started an innovation hub where we are getting people to train, so keep the capabilities on training. So we're going to be training them on cloud and cybersecurity, on AI, on digital fluency.
Loretta Songola, CEO of Liquid Zimbabwe. Okay, some context. This is not the first MOU that the Ministry of Skills Audit and Development has signed in 2026. There was also one with Robocorder Zimbabwe on robotics and coding. So there's a pattern of these MOUs with these private sector partners to really build the AI talent pipeline that our national AI strategy requires. So interesting to note this MOU that's been signed, and we wait to see how it will play out. Moving on. Is AI-generated music replacing authentic human-made music in Zimbabwe? Well, last week, the US Embassy's Public Affairs section in Harare hosted a panel discussion as part of Zimbabwe's Culture Month celebrations, and the subject was artificial intelligence and its impact on the future of music. I was there at that discussion. I even contributed to the discussion, but the panel was very interesting. The panel was moderated by journalist Asha Nyambi, the founder of Samora Central. And on that panel was the Grammy Award-winning American artist Matt B, who joined via Zoom from the United States. Also, one of the most recorded session guitarists and producers in the country, Clive Monomkundu, who has featured on over 1,000 albums. Cultural manager Keith Kuudzai and gospel musician Joshua Mtima, the founder of the widely celebrated gospel group The Unveiled, which famously used AI to help in the production of one of 2026's biggest songs, Chaita Chete. The conversation was very interesting. There were widely divergent views on the impact of AI tools in the music industry. But it's safe to say that most artists seemed worried about their authentic and real music and whether it would be replaced by machine-generated AI slop. And should anything be done on a policy level about that? Others had the view that technology is moving forward and you can't stop it, and artists must accept that AI is a reality. Well, what's the situation on the ground? To be clear, there's no real way of telling if AI was used in the production of music, and we have to avoid being very binary in our discussion here. It's not just a case of AI music versus real music. The spectrum of what could be described as AI music is large. It ranges from maybe just using ChatGPT to help in generating some lyrics, or perhaps using AI to create demo tracks to use as reference for session musicians, all the way to having fully AI-generated songs made by AI-generated artists. And sometimes in these conversations, we make the mistake of lumping these two different things together. There's that difference between a talented music producer who is using AI tools to enhance his craft and make music versus someone who doesn't really have any experience in making music, who just made a song using a prompt. Basically, that AI generative tool would have made the song from scratch, everything from the melody to the vocals to the production of the track. I believe those two are different. So let's focus on that last one. Songs that are generated fully by prompt. In Zimbabwe earlier this year, the song Ndakaina Matiranyaya Iyoyo by AI-generated artist GraceWave.zw was released, and it was a smash hit, currently sitting on over 5 million views on YouTube in about 2 months. Globally, last month, that's April 2026, an AI-generated artist called Inga Rose hit number one on the global iTunes charts with a track called Celebrate Me. The artist itself is reportedly not a real person, fully AI-generated. The songs are produced using Suno, the AI music platform. Also, even on this show, we spoke about the AI persona called Xenia Monet, which was created by an American-based poet using Suno, signed a multi-million dollar record deal with Hollywood Media, and debuted on Billboard's Adult R&B Airplay chart. The scale itself is also scary. According to streaming platform Deezer, around 60,000 AI-generated tracks are uploaded to their platform every day, equating to roughly 39% of daily uploads. And Deezer reports that up to 85% of streams of AI-generated tracks were fraudulent, meaning artificial bots were streaming AI-generated music just for the sake of gaming royalty systems. So, in the face of AI-generated music, what should Zimbabwe do? Well, there was no clear answer. And I don't believe it's very easy for us to come up with a clear answer. But the thing that came through very clearly in the discussion is something does need to be done. Our Copyright and Neighboring Rights Act doesn't really cover for AI-generated works. We have loopholes in our collection systems. So we do have to do something as a country to protect our artists. Otherwise, they will be competing with a loop of infinite, cheap to produce AI-generated content on the same streaming platforms that they're trying to make a living on. But for the rest of us who don't make music, we just listen to music, I'm curious to know, do you care if music is AI-generated, or are you only interested on whether it sounds good and it makes you feel something? Love to hear your thoughts. Okay, at this point, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we've got some more technology stories, not just from Zimbabwe, but Africa and the world. So stick around. My name is Danny That Guy. If any of this has been interesting to you, please use the hashtag AfricaTechKin when discussing this, or send a message through to our WhatsApp 0772-168-045. We'll be right back.
Serving you hits.
Just the hits.
I got family at the end of the day, that's all I need.
Yo, what's going on? This is Drizzy Drake. This is my station.
Family. New York hit music station.
Z.
Welcome back. You're tuned in to the Africa Tech Kin right here on ZFM Stereo, my station, your station. I'm your host, Danny That Guy, your guide through the jungle of technology. And we've got some more tech stories from this week that's worth it for us to discuss. How many Zimbabweans are actually using AI tools? How many Africans are using AI tools? How many people in the world are using AI tools on a day-to-day basis? Well, earlier this month, Microsoft's AI Economy Institute published its Global AI Diffusion Report for the first quarter of 2026. This is one of the more reliable measures of how AI is being used globally, not just from a marketing perspective, but actually being used by people on the ground. And it tracks 147 countries. So let's take a look at some of the statistics from this report. 17.8% of the world's working age population, that's people aged between 15 and 64, used a generative AI product in the first quarter of 2026. 17.8%. That's up from 16.3% at the end of 2025. So AI use is growing, but I'm a little surprised. Only 17.8% of the world's working age population? Well, let's take a look at the countries. The United Arab Emirates is the runaway leader at 70.1% of the country using generative AI tools. It's the first country in the world to cross the 70% mark. Singapore is second at 63.4%, followed by Norway, Ireland, France. The United States, interestingly, only sits at 31.3%, 21st in the world. But what about Africa? South Africa is Africa's clear leader. 23.1% of its working age population have used a generative AI product in the first quarter of 2026. That's a 2 percentage point jump from last quarter, and it ranks South Africa at 46th out of the 147 global economies. It's the only African country in what Microsoft calls the mid-tier of global AI adoption. After that, the gap to the rest of the continent is quite wide. Namibia and Botswana both sit at around 15%. Egypt is at 14.8%. Nigeria, the continent's largest economy, is sitting at 10.1%. Ghana, also 10.1%. Kenya, only 8.7%. Zimbabwe is below that, sitting at 8.5%, close to the bottom of the list, with a modest increase of 0.9% from the previous quarter. So AI use in Zimbabwe is growing, but by far the majority of the country has not used AI generative tools in 2026. If you are one of those that are using a generative AI tool, you are in the top 8.5% of the country of AI adopters. It's an advantage maybe for you individually, but the country clearly has a lot to grow into when it comes to technology. But hey, at least we're above Uganda, Tanzania, Ethiopia, and others below 8%, including Rwanda, which surprised me. Also, a very interesting finding from this report is the trend line. The gap between the global north and the global south widened in Q1 2026. Last year, the gap was 10.6 percentage points. Now it's 12.1 percentage points. So AI adoption is growing more than twice as fast in higher income regions. Microsoft attributes that widening gap to three things: reliable electricity, internet connectivity, and digital skills. Electricity, internet, skills. Looks like we've come full circle to some of the things that we had already started speaking about at the beginning of this show. Things that we said this country is working on. The full report is available for free from Microsoft if you're interested in reading it, but I thought those headlines were of key interest to us. Okay, let's move on to the next one. This is a very interesting African tech story. Last Wednesday in Joburg, the Group Chief Technology and Information Officer of MTN, Mr. Charles Molapisi, told an audience at an event hosted by law firm Bowman's that MTN plans to turn its African cellular tower network into a distributed artificial intelligence computing grid. Okay, let's see if we can translate it. Every cell tower you see, whether it's Econet, NetOne, MTN, whatever market it may be in, has mostly at the bottom a piece of hardware called a baseband unit. This baseband unit, its only job is to run the radio that talks to your phone. What MTN is proposing is to replace those single-purpose baseband units with open GPU hardware. GPUs, of course, refer to graphics processing units. Those are the same chips that power AI models like ChatGPT or Gemini and so on. So the proposal is that those same chips, the same hardware, would run both the cellular radio network and AI computation at the same time. Why? Firstly, for speed. When your phone today runs an AI feature, it usually has to send the data hundreds, sometimes thousands of kilometers away to a data center, often outside the continent, for the AI to process. So that round trip introduces lag and makes it slower. If the AI computer is at the tower closest to your home or to your phone, then that response is almost instant. Molapisi himself gave an example of children playing PlayStation on an estate served by a local tower. Today, every action that needs intelligent processing gets backhauled to a faraway data center and then comes back. So with this edge compute installed at the cell tower, the workload is served locally, theoretically providing faster gaming, faster mobile AI, faster everything. Secondly, data sovereignty, which is something we've spoken about several times whenever we talk about AI on the continent. Right now, when an African uses an AI service, the data often leaves the country and is processed in another country. When towers are running the AI locally, that data could stay where it's generated, which is a big deal for anything that involves privacy or data sovereignty, like healthcare records, financial data, government data, and so on. And thirdly, and this is the one that Molapisi was speaking about the most, economic positioning. Africa today hosts about 1% of global computing power. Molapisi's argument was that Africa risks repeating its commodity history. In other words, it's exporting raw data, and the real economic value of that data is realized in other countries. But if we have the processing here locally, then we are able to unlock the value here in Africa. Okay, interesting in theory, but Molapisi himself also gave it a bit of a reality check. You see, the chips today are moving really fast. NVIDIA went from Hopper generation GPUs to Blackwell in under 2 years, making the Hopper GPUs redundant. Any procurement decision made today could likely be obsolete by the time it's deployed. So it's a hard plan, it's an expensive plan, but it is some kind of plan. For Zimbabwe specifically, MTN doesn't have any mobile towers here in Zimbabwe, but MTN is building terrestrial fiber in markets where it doesn't have a mobile license. So there is a future in which Zimbabwean AI servers could run on infrastructure owned and operated by a Pan-African carrier like MTN. Or perhaps a similar model could be adopted by Zimbabwean companies. Of course, this is all theoretical at this time, but something I thought worth mentioning as a news item for us to pay attention to. Okay, let's zoom out to the wider world now. Last week, Google held its annual developer conference, Google I.O. 2026, in Mountain View, California. And of course, it was AI, AI, and more AI. Quick roundup of what was announced. Gemini 3.5 Flash was launched, which is Google's new flagship AI model. They say it's 4 times faster than rival frontier models on output speed. And it's rolling out immediately. You can find it in Search, the Gemini app, and developer APIs. They also announced a new generation of intelligent eyewear, AI-powered glasses that are arriving later this year. Deeper Gemini integration in Workspace, Android, and Chrome, and something called Google Beam. It's the new name for the 3D video conferencing project, which has built-in real-time translation. But the most consequential announcement, I thought, by some distance, is what Google is calling AI Search. This is the biggest change to how Google Search has worked in its 25-year history. For context, traditional Google Search has remained mostly unchanged, apart from perhaps a few things in the UI. But from a user's perspective, it's remained the same for the last 25 years. You type, you get a list of links, and you click on the one that you want. Now, Google has changed that. Search now has AI overviews, which we were already seeing previews of in some people if you had it enabled. That's AI-generated summaries that Google puts on the top of search results. Apparently, these now have 2.5 billion monthly users. Google has essentially transformed itself from a service that gives you links to a service that gives you AI answers. That's a huge change. So if your business relied on Google traffic, perhaps a news website, e-commerce store, service company, then the rules have just changed. Google is no longer going to be directing traffic in your direction. At the same time, this is happening alongside Google's May 2026 core update, which rolled out on the 21st of May. So sites are being ranked in part by whether AI can cite them. So the game has shifted from being ranked to being referenced. So the big debate right now by many developers is, should you allow your website to be accessed by these AI tools like Gemini or not? The debate will rage on. And finally, a quick story that made headlines this week. Microsoft, the world's most valuable technology company, depending on what you use to measure the value of a company, has ordered its own engineers in its Experiences and Devices division. That's the teams that build Windows, Microsoft 365, Outlook, Teams, Surface. They've ordered them to completely stop using Anthropic's Claude Code AI tool by the 30th of June this year. The story was first broken by The Verge's Tom Warren in his newsletter on the 14th of May, and several articles have run the story since then. The story is that Microsoft opened up Claude Code, this coding assistant tool that was built by Anthropic, one of OpenAI's main competitors, to thousands of its own developers to help with building the software that they build in Microsoft. The tool became, in one staffer's words, perhaps a little too popular. Now, Microsoft is telling those same engineers to switch to its own Copilot product. Okay, a lot of nuance is needed here because many headlines are screaming that this is how the bubble is going to pop. Microsoft is cutting off its arrangements with Claude because it's too expensive. But it's a little bit more than that. First of all, Microsoft is pushing for its engineers to use its own tool as opposed to Claude. I mean, that makes sense, doesn't it? Also, this is not some kind of clean break with Anthropic. Microsoft may be pulling Claude Code licenses, but at the same time, the company is still investing up to $5 billion in Anthropic via its Foundry deal. And Anthropic has separately committed to spending $30 billion on Microsoft's Azure Cloud Compute. So while Microsoft may be restricting some of its software developers from using Claude Code, Microsoft is still very much in bed with Anthropic. The real issue here is token-based pricing, which is what most major AI models are using to bill. Every query, every code generation, every debugging session has a price tag that's based on how many tokens are used. So at the scale of thousands of engineers using these tools daily, then you can anticipate that the cost compounds pretty fast. How fast? Listen to this. Uber, the ride-hailing company, deployed Claude Code to 5,000 of its engineers. Per engineer, API costs reached between $500 and $2,000 per month. Uber's CTO told The Information in April that the company had burned through its entire 2026 AI coding tools budget, roughly $3.4 billion, in just 4 months. Senior NVIDIA executive Brian Catanzaro said publicly that for his team at NVIDIA, the company that actually makes the chips for this AI compute, he said the cost of compute is far beyond the costs of the employees. The company that builds the AI chips is saying its AI tools costs more than its human staff. So what does this mean? I don't think we can come to any tidy conclusions yet, but it lets us think of a couple of things. First of all, if even Microsoft and Uber and NVIDIA are talking about using AI tools being a little too expensive, then what does that mean for some of the smaller companies, African businesses, Zimbabwean businesses that want to deploy Claude Code or want to deploy these AI tools in them? Secondly, the narrative of the last 3 years has been AI is coming for your job. Well, this story seems to suggest different. It may be that AI might be a little bit more expensive than humans in some cases. We have to look at this a little bit more to get the actual answers to that. And then finally, for software developers, freelancers, students who are listening, you can't just offload all your coding to AI tools. It might be a little bit too expensive. Even the free tools you're using today, they might not be free in a few months. So plan accordingly. Don't lose all your skills just yet. Actually, this conversation about whether we are in an AI bubble is an interesting one, one that we will probably have to unpack in future shows. But for now, that's the end of our show. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Africa Tech Kin. Please join in on the conversation on social media by using the hashtag Africa Tech Kin. If you're listening to this on demand or if you missed any part of this show, you can always go back via podcasts or YouTube. Just search for ZFM Stereo. You can watch the full show or listen to it on your podcast app. We'll be back again next week where we have some more technology stories depending on whatever happens this week, as well as any trends that I'm able to notice. I would love to hear your contributions or if you have any suggestions on things that we should be talking about on this show. Please get in touch. My name is Danny That Guy. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Africa Tech Kin on ZFM Stereo. Current Affairs continues right here. Don't go anywhere. But as for me, I'm signing out until next time. Bye-bye.
Tune in next time for Africa Tech Kin on ZFM Stereo, discussing all things tech.